May God forgive us. Whoa, what was that?
Welcome to the Apococast, everyone. Well, you know, but you know what? Listen, I can't move forward. I can't move forward until Patrick apologizes for turning my microphone down.
Nope, because it would have sounded like shit if I didn't.
Oh, wow. Well,
now I've your mic's back, so
I've got a serious accusation. Well, I'm bringing a serious accusation against Patrick Hilsman, and I will compare him to the president for what he's doing.
Pat, your response?
To be fair, I did.
Rather than hear something,
I did punish you by pulling your boxers off and spanking you in front of all the other co-hosts the other day.
Okay,
so, that yeah, does
unrelated,
seem like that,
unrelated, Patrick.
Well, okay, but I'm
you know
saying.
You heard something you didn't like, and you decided to just silence me, just like some other presidents I know.
Oh wow, we're gonna get into some
yeah,
shit. You're gonna fucking
yeah, I fucking said it. Dealing wow. with it. What you gonna do? What you gonna do, Pat?
Jesus, my own. Fucking
Are you gonna
co-host.
Apologize? Will you apologize, sir?
Judge Joe Brown is next door. We
yeah,
get him.
What well, do you? What
you
do you say?
Are listening to the Apocalypse. But apparently,
and let's not
some people
the Apocalypse
don't appreciate
is-
that.
No one appreciates.
You want to say something, Jad?
Oh, I already did say something. Yeah, man, I compared you to the president, and now you're having trouble dealing with it, aren't you?
I don't love the comparison, you know, because I feel like no. I'm a little bit more of a rebel than Trump is, you know.
Really? In what way? How are you more rebellious than our president? Because our president is a maverick.
But because I just like I said, it's like we were talking about before the show. By the way, you're listening to the podcast.
Mine yes, you are listening to the podcast.
I'm an investigative journalist. Who knew? Right. This is my co-host, Jad.
My name is Jad Ali Slayman. I fear nothing. I am a co-host of the podcast.
My name is Andrew. I also fear nothing, but spiders, I don't usually
well, yeah, we all fear spiders. Let's be real, you know?
Yeah, come on. But,
they
you know,
make me uncomfortable more than fearful.
Patrick, I'm willing to put our differences aside. I'm willing to stop this nonsense. Listen, we got to put the past behind us, all right, Pat?
Okay.
Well, we're going to talk about our matters, which are vital to this country,
mm-hmm.
vital to Jesus Christ, vital to true believers, all right? Because those are the people who are not being talked about. And at the Apocalypse, we have to make sure that they're noticed.
Can I tell you about something that I'm excited about?
We have to spread God's word here on the Apocalypse. What excites you, Patrick?
Listen, because if we're talking about Jesus, we might as well. I'm going to give it. We have a new rule in the Apocalypse, by the way. You're only allowed to talk about the current events for so long. About 10 seconds. So, yeah. Hope Hicks is the next to go down.
Really? Who's Hope Hicks?
The hot one.
Wait, who's Hope Hicks?
She's always the one with the briefcase that comes down the stairs
mm-hmm.
off Air Force
in the
One.
Trump administration.
She's
oh,
like
yeah.
Melania Jr.
She's like there to look smart.
And you won't believe what they sentenced her to.
What did they sentence her to?
All the other Trump administration people are going to get away scot-free.
And put it all on her.
Yep. But they sentenced her to be spanked in front of the rest of the administration until her ass is cherry red. And then the rest of them just get away with nothing. Can you believe that?
I'm shocked.
I'm not shocked at all.
No, I'm not surprised at all. It makes sense.
I mean, no, I'm saying there's a frayed wire behind me and I keep touching it. I mean, I'm actually literally shocked.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what happens in this modern age, in this new dangerous world.
And also, Spicer was sentenced to the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But he's gotten his punishment over course of his tenure.
Oh, he's got to get spanked while...
It's
sentence served.
Spicer is going to get spanked while wearing the White House Easter Bunny costume again.
Oh, I love the Easter Bunny costume.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but we're classy here on the Apocalypse.
Sure, we are.
As you can see by our taste in music.
No one remembered that the bunny suit actually had a drop down in the back so he could either be spanked or use the bathroom, you know,
or you're defecate. Yeah. Well, you know what? Now we're going to make good use of that costume.
Yeah.
I'm glad that feature is there. Yeah.
I'm
no, everything is
going
to be okay.
You know?
There is
but
four
we are,
in the Trump administration. Because
you never know when you'll need to dress as a bunny and relieve yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like Boy Scouts motto. Sean Spicer is probably an Eagle Scout.
Have you never been to Times Square? I feel like that's every time I'm there.
It's just full of Boy Scouts.
But I'm always in a bunny costume. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just a coincidence.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I mean, it makes sense. You gotta like work those tourists and put on a bunny costume and they'll give you money to take pictures with them.
Every time I go there,
but now,
like, you gotta...
Yeah, but now you can only do it in like a certain designated space. Like, you can't just walk around Times Square in your bunny costume anymore.
No, you had to be commuting.
Yeah, oh, right.
It's really unfortunate. You have to do it between stops.
Well, it's a good way to make money, like on your commute, because you know, Lord knows, like and nothing
you,
pays.
You just drop down the back of the costume, and they put the dollars right in.
Right. Do you think it's like worth kind of carrying a costume like around all the time, like just to put it on like for 10 minutes?
So you're have you each ever way during made your back commute? Your train fare like in 12 what? Minutes? Have you ever made back your train fare in 12 minutes?
I guess not. No.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I think of it. It's just it's value.
You could always like sell candy for a basketball team.
That's true.
But the thing about basketball teams is that I enjoyed the sport of basketball until they changed the rules, you know?
Yeah. In what way?
Well, the whole thing where they kick each other in the balls because of fouls.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit excessive. It used to be that you'd like lose a point for a foul or something, you know?
Yeah.
But now you just have to stand there while someone pummels your testicles with their fucking shoes. Not fair.
And you know, I mean, it's not like they get insurance coverage or anything, you know, so when they're raising money for their basketball team, like that's what that's really about is, you know, it's just like getting their health insurance so they can make their premiums so that they can get treatment for getting kicked in the balls so much.
It's all lies. It's all built on a lie.
Yeah.
Well, like all professional sports.
Big news, listeners. Sports is fake.
Yeah. You know? Sports is bullshit. Fuck sports, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You think
yeah.
the Brooklyn Nets could get anywhere? No, no. It's just it's. All the games are rigged.
Yeah, all the games are rigged.
And all the system is rigged, people.
Yeah, breaking news.
Yeah. Oh God, I'm so shocked. I was it's fucking like ignorant until I listened to the Apocalypse, and then it woke me up.
It's like a circus.
And then I realized I'm a fucking idiot.
Oh, the Apocalypse is a scream in the night. While the world is at ease and asleep, the prophet feels the blast from heaven.
Well, guys, you know, there were several Apocalypse songs that we considered this week.
Okay.
So, I think maybe,
This is the acapella Apocalypse cast. We're doing a little segment here.
The acapella cast.
The acapella cast.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be terrible. I mean, who would give up all this music? Guys. Have you ever listened to the Apocalypse and heard like stupid pop songs? No.
We
listen to classical music because
classy. It's classical and it's classy as a motherfucker.
Exactly. We are people of taste and class here on the Apocalypse.
We are cultured as fuck.
Yeah.
My God.
Exactly.
We actually were the ones to purchase that Da Vinci that was on sale at the auction months back.
Yeah, exactly.
We forked over the $450 odd million.
Yeah.
It's on our wall.
That was
we
us.
Actually drew a mustache on it. It was very satisfying.
It's a good investment for Radio Free Brooklyn and for the people of the United States.
I don't know what you motherfuckers are talking about, but all right.
Oh, well, we're talking about, you know, stuff.
It's just funds. It was just the loose funds of the Apocalypse. We just used them to buy a very expensive painting.
We didn't want to tell you.
Embezzling from the motherfucking Apocalypse?
We didn't want to tell you because...
It was an investment.
Oh, God, an offense for which people have frequently been stripped nude and then had their asses spanked.
Yeah, well, you know what? We are sick and tired of being like stripped nude and spanked for making like sensible business decisions, okay?
He painted The Last Supper.
Yeah.
It was in the tradition of Jesus Christ to own something of that magnitude.
Are we going to go for a mulligan on this one?
No, I stand by the purchase.
Yeah, dude.
I think it still needs a mulligan if you're going to move past it.
A mulligan?
A mulligan?
What the fuck are you talking about?
It wasn't a Stormy
Daniels. This isn't a golf
Daniels.
Game, Patrick.
This was no Stormy Daniels.
I mean, listen. Okay, we are like classy, but it's not like we fucking play golf. Okay? So don't even start with that shit.
Yeah, what's a golf?
Don't even start with mulligans. Yeah, what are the fuck is a golf?
It's just a small, body of water.
It's just like, a car.
Yeah.
It's also a small rodent that most people in the Midwest shoot because they dig holes in the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
A golf?
I mean,
a golf.
To me, that's what a golf is.
But well, you gotta shoot something.
I don't know nothing about mulligans.
Really? It sounds like you got a problem with the Irish. You racist?
What? I am Irish, sir.
You're Irish?
Yeah, man, I'm Irish.
Are we both black Irish?
I'm black Irish.
Oh,
that's correct.
Too. Yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, you know who doesn't believe in being black Irish is the Irish. They don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I mean, my hair is dark.
Yeah, I know.
And my family's hair is dark.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And they're Irish.
Right, but apparently the Irish don't recognize the black Irish. Like, that's a completely American thing.
We're shunned.
Yeah, exactly. We're the real victims.
Oh,
we're
man.
The real forgotten people
that
in this
sucks.
Country.
Fucking A, man.
Yeah, I know. I know. We're never going to get our moment in the sun. We'll never get the proper recognition we deserve.
Do you actually
not even
want
from
your
our own people.
Sun? I feel like that might hurt a little bit.
I think I've discussed this before on the Apocalypse, but being Irish American does kind of suck.
Yeah, if you're Irish and American,
it doesn't suck as much as like having the police shoot you for no reason and
no,
shit like that.
No.
But in terms of like holidays, it does suck because there's nothing fun really for a kid about being Irish, you know?
No. Well, no, there is something fun for a kid, which is that you can grow up you know, with sort of like the American nationalist thing of being like, "Oh, I'm Irish, I'm so fucking tough." And that then is something you carry forward for the rest of your stupid life. You know, like that. There's nice.
Green shirts.
Yeah, exactly. So you wear green shirts, and on St. Patrick's Day, you like wear a green football jersey and like a green cap backwards, and you like wander around drunk around the West Village. You know, I mean, that's something you can. That's
that those like are all Santa fine.
It's a tradition you can hold on to.
I think those are all fine things to do, and I think that they're very important to me.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, it was so important. You know, it's really important to me too. You know, and I hang out with my, you know, I always talk about like, you know, all my friends who are Italian and how, I hate like fucking Italians. But then like, you know, I'm hanging out with
you,
like.
What's with you and the Italians, Jed?
Well, you know, I'm Irish is what I mean to say.
I'm Irish. I have no problem with the Italians.
Well, the Irish and the Italians historically hate each other, especially in the tri-state area, you know. But they actually.
We have to like compete over whether
always,
Catholicism should be uptight or freewheeling.
Oh, wow. Yeah, exactly. So, you know. All those Irish and the Italians, they'll like
guess
hang out
which
together.
Side we're on
freewheeling.
No, we're Irish, dude.
Freewheeling is that
we're on the uptight side of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm saying the Irish and the Italians in America are in a competition as to whether Catholicism should be fun and freewheeling, like it is for Italian Americans. Like, oh, Catholicism, hey, fun, or uptight and like miserable as it is for Irish people.
Oh, and really?
I'm definitely on team uptight and miserable, you know, because it's like you can't, like, the Italians are cheating. Like, you can't let religion be too fun. Like, you can't let your culture be too fun. It has to be a burden. Culture is everyone's cross to bear. And it can't be, if it's enjoyable, like Mexican people, their culture is so fun and, like, it's cool
Cinco
and it has so
Mayo.
Much to offer. No, but, like, holidays, music, like, history, painting, all that shit. But it's like,
Navidad.
Yeah, but just being Irish is just like, it's like all the suffering of your people. Like, there's just not a lot that's fun for a child. Sure. St. Patrick's for an adult, fantastic. But for a child, there's nothing.
Yeah, you can't really get an 11-year-old, like, trashed on green.
It's
like,
not that
Budweiser.
Fun. I mean, my family used to take me to the parade in New York and tell me that it was for me because my name is Patrick and mm-hmm. I'm Irish.
Mm-hmm. What happens when you found out that wasn't true?
Was that a devastating day?
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. You know,
what'd you do? Like, what the fuck?
Do you remember the day?
I was like, all these mics gathered in one place and it wasn't for me. I was like, fuck that.
All these Bostonians down here.
Mm-hmm. My best friend once almost overdosed on St. Patrick's. That was fun.
Oh,
like,
wow.
What? Did he jump into the Chicago River and like...
No, he was in New York City and I was like, hey, buddy. I was like, Greg. I feel like you're doing too much cocaine. You know?
That sounds like a lot
was
of
he
cocaine.
Drunk in the middle of the West Village being like, yo, I'm Irish, kiss me.
He's definitely not Irish.
Yes. Oh, well, that sucks for him.
Yeah. He's definitely Native American Jewish.
That is not the same thing.
Nope. Not the same thing as Irish.
That seems
shouldn't
like
be
a
drinking.
Strange time to do coke.
It's definitely
like,
should not be
St.
drinking.
St. Patrick's Day is not a strange time to do coke.
Not, no, but from being Jewish and Native American and going... Today on St. Patrick's Day, that's the day I'm going to get too fucked up.
We're from the tri-state area. What do you want us to do on St. Patrick's Day?
Hide like I do.
You hide on St. Patrick's Day?
Oh my God.
What a coward.
Time.
But anyway, so,
I am such a coward about...
So I had a great rock talk moment on St. Patrick's Day with my friend. And I was like, Greg, I feel as though you are going to overdose. Maybe you shouldn't. And
it's
he was
a very
like,
formal.
Yeah. And he was like, Pat, you've always been a little fucking bitch ever since you were a kid. And I'm going to override you on this one. He was right. He's not dead.
He's not dead.
He's alive.
Wow.
Oh.
I told him he would die if he kept doing cocaine.
Good for that. Good for that.
And he had that pioneer American spirit. And he said, no, fuck you. He's
pioneer?
Like, I'm gonna... Yeah, pioneer. Well, Indian. Whatever. And he was like, fuck you. He's like, I'm going to keep doing coke the same way that the Mormons and the settlers before us insisted that we do. And he was right.
Did the Mormons do coke?
No, they didn't.
Because they told you to just keep going. Could you imagine never having coffee and then doing cocaine for the first time?
The listeners of the podcast will know that I don't do hard drugs. I just do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I do enjoy...
And I've never done hard drugs either, so I...
No, no, no. I've never done hard drugs, but I don't currently do them.
I've never had a cup of coffee. I've never smoked pot.
Coffee is the greatest drug of all time.
I've never taken Adderall.
I do echinacea.
I do like being around people that are on drugs.
How can you fucking put that in your body?
And I like being around people that are on cocaine especially.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm already a dick. Like this is me sober. Well, I'm drunk. But, like... Okay, Chad, you've been around me sober when it's like, whoa. Like, did he just fucking say that?
Yeah.
Like, whoa, this is fucking really awkward and embarrassing. Whereas me drunk, I'm very pleasant. and just very, you know, jovial. Some would even say gregarious.
Gregarious.
When I'm
drunk.
Was
your friend Greg gregarious?
He was, yes. I mean, some people would... It's a very fitting word.
So together, you... As Patrick on St. Patrick's Day, and him,
some would even describe me as gregarious. That's
and
right.
You both came together,
Patrick. But, when I'm around you, I feel so good inside, so inspired to be the person I want to be.
People that are on cocaine. Oh, that's so nice of you, Jed.
Patrick, you are a ray of sunshine in the darkness.
God damn, is that true? Fuck.
Oh my God, Patrick, you are the bright light that everyone on the Apocalypse gathers around.
Jed,
I don't think that you get enough recognition for it.
But so anyways, recently on an podcast, there were some people that were on drugs, on uppers. I know, right? What? And I wasn't on uppers. I was on a little drug known as whiskey and cider, right?
Ethanol.
Yeah. I was all fucked up on ethanol. But other people were fucked up.
Ethyl alcohol. Ethanol is gasoline. Ethanol is gasoline. Ethyl is alcohol.
Ethyl is my aunt.
Ethanol is gasoline.
Listen. So
it's the truth.
Everyone else
was Patrick.
A lot of people were on cocaine, right? And I wasn't on cocaine. Not everyone, but some people were on cocaine and I wasn't, right? And it ended in me yelling at everyone and telling them to go fuck themselves and like accusing people of betraying me and like being paranoid, right? And it's like dead sober. Ask me how sober I was.
How sober were you?
I was drunk. But
so fairly.
But yeah, that's pretty sober.
Were you on
right?
hard drugs, sir?
Absolutely not.
Oh man.
No, sir. No.
Would you ever do the Apocalypse cast when you're stoned?
I'd never do such a thing.
Would you do the Apocalypse cast on Adderall?
I have frequently done the Apocalypse cast on Adderall.
Okay. Would you do the Apocalypse cast on caffeine pills?
I've frequently done the Apocalypse cast on like 12. Caffeine? Oh, caffeine is a fucking great drug. Let's be real. Okay. I wish there were more hours in the day that I could drink coffee. Doesn't it fucking
would
suck?
Would you do the Apocalypse cast on speed?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Would you do the Apocalypse cast on coke?
Nope.
No. So the line is speed.
I guess, yeah.
That's where the line is.
Yeah, but I could see a reasonable context in which I would do the Apocalypse cast on speed. Mm-hmm. I'm a very, very, very tragically attention deficit person.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You know, it's caused me pain
yes.
in my life and in my testicles.
I understand very much.
So
I walk around and my balls hurt and people are like, John, why can't you pay attention? And I say, like, I was like, it's my balls.
What do they say?
Do not fucking josh me about this, okay? They say, Jad, what's wrong with you? And I say, did you say John? And they say, no, I said Jad.
Yes, I've had a disorder with my brain.
Yeah. And they're like, what?
It's my imaginary friend.
And they say, Jad, why are you confusing me? Jad, why don't you pay attention? And I say, it's this fucking pain in my balls. I've felt it since I was 6 years old. I was diagnosed very early. It's not a joke. And you know what? My teachers didn't believe me, and my friends don't believe me. And they say, well, everyone's balls hurt a little bit. You know, everyone's balls, you know, act up from time to time. I mean, mine do. Even women say that. Can you fucking believe that?
My balls are like...
Women say...
Did you know that they can pop up into your body?
What?
They can pop up completely into your body. It happens to me all the time.
During orgasm, the testicles are pulled close to the body for warmth.
No. They, into the body.
Completely. Into the body.
Yep. Completely absorbed into the body.
Okay. And then what happens after that? For what reason does this happen?
And then I start to levitate.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I assume that they're engines.
Like a rocket ship?
I think it's God talking to you, Patrick.
I don't know about a rocket ship, because that's more of like a propulsion thing that's based on like Newtonian physics, if we're going to get technical, okay. You know?
Sure.
And I think that when we're talking about my yolks, we're talking about like more quantum physics, if we're being real.
What happens after that? What happens after you levitate, Pat? Do you think that's God talking to you?
I don't know, man.
Showing you that he's chosen you to be on the Apocalypse and save the world from fascism?
No.
So you defy
God sent
gravity.
His messenger, one Mr. Thomas Tenney, declare that. I know. To declare that about the world and how I was destined to save the world.
Yeah, but have you noticed that Tom has the biggest dick in the world?
Duh. I
mean, but whenever you're around him, your balls disappear? How do you think that works, Pat?
It's true. I do feel as though I have smaller balls when I'm around Tom.
Yeah, exactly.
Jad, thank you for pointing that out.
Have you ever questioned this at all?
No.
I mean, maybe you should start. Maybe you should think about Tom and his influence over you. Okay, because if someone has influence over you,
it's Tom.
They have influence over the Apocalypse.
Jesus,
all right?
That's a good point, Jad.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to square with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's so just either. My opinion, you know. But anyway, listen, I'm not a fucking psychologist. It's just something you have to think about, okay? You have to think about your relationship with Tom and whether Tom is going to corrupt you. And whether Tom is corrupting the word of Jesus.
It's a good point.
Has he ever made you do coke before coming on the Apocalypse?
Yeah, Patrick. Has Tom ever...
That's not really his bag, my friends.
Well, anyway.
It's a small bag, so it might not be his, but
he might just give
it to you.
Nope.
So basically, you know, Patrick, listen. You've got a lot of responsibility, okay?
That's true.
Sometimes, like, God makes you levitate. Sometimes God makes you levitate. Uh-huh. You know,
I thought you were saying God makes you lactate, and I was like, well, you know, that's how some people see it.
Happens to women, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway,
true.
So basically, you know, we all have to watch out for Patrick Kelsman. We all have to watch out, and we have to make sure he's okay.
Because
without Pat, there is no Apocalypse.
And without the Apocalypse, there's no light.
There's no light in the world.
It's truly the Pat Apocalypse.
The Apocalypse. All right. Well, listen. I sent out a couple. I sent out a couple messages that had some like experimental Apocalypse songs. So we might as well just hear that shit. Great.
All right, everyone. And what do you call this one, Patrick?
I don't know.
What's the title? You have a working title?
Friday, oh Friday at 2 p.m.
That was lovely.
Then
amazing.
If you liked it,
amazing. Mind blown.
Wow, that was great.
Mind blown.
Exactly. Jad, well said. All right, let's hear another.
All right, yeah. Ready for another showstopper, everybody?
Friday, oh Friday, radio, free Brooklyn.
Were you?
Oh my God.
Brilliant. So good. Holy
brilliant.
Fucking shit. Wow.
Oh, great. Right, Do you have another one?
I do.
On Friday at 2 p.m.
Wait a second. What?
At 2 p.m.
The fuck is this?
At Friday at 2 p.m. It did air. At Friday at 2 p.m.
Oh my God, Patrick. How could you fucking do that? You stole that shit from me.
What?
You fucking stole that song. I wrote that song.
Bullshit.
And I sent it to you. And then you fucking stole it.
Bullshit,
and
you fucking lying
and
asshole.
And now you're fucking here on the Apocalypse saying like, oh, I wrote this fucking shit.
What's your problem, Jad? What are you talking about?
What does Jad do? Oh, man. I wrote a fucking awesome Apocalypse song and now you just like don't want to give me any credit, do you?
Wow, that is some fucking horseshit if I've ever heard it.
No. Oh my God. Ooh, do not trust this man. Do not trust this man.
Woo-wee, Jed. Holy fucking shit.
Have you been corrupted, Pat?
No,
I think he's been. I think he's been hanging around Tom Tenney too much. That's what's going on.
Well, we've written a song about the memo.
It's like, you know, I know your balls hurt, Pat, but that doesn't mean you can just like fucking steal my shit.
Okay, well, here, let's. I wrote a song about the memo.
I mean, I know I can't remember. I can't remember that.
Should we declassify this motherfucker? Should we declassify this bitch? Should we declassify this motherfucker and tell all those globalist cocks to suck our dicks?
So it goes, should we declassify this motherfucker? Should we declassify this bitch? Should we declassify this motherfucker and tell all these globalist cocks to suck our dicks? Oh, God. Sometimes you just fucking feel the spirit of the Lord.
It truly, you know, did feel like an embodiment of the Nixon tapes coming together as a musical about the present.
Is it adapted from a Catholic hymn?
Probably, yes. I'm not going to claim originality, you know?
Yeah, you shouldn't, because you are, after all, a plagiarist.
What the fuck are you talking about?
The song you took from me.
From you?
Yeah.
Jad?
Yes. Jad Slayman. That's me. Yeah. I don't understand why all this kind of shit always happens to me. Jad!
Well, I don't know. You just seem like, you have luck tattooed on your fist, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And you're like, luck fist! Luck fist! So it seems like you're just fucking asking for it.
Yeah, man, I just go through life, I just kind of wing it, you know what I mean? I don't make plans. I don't trust other people. I don't work in teams.
Why should you?
It's just me. It's just me fucking Jad Slayman and nobody else, and that's the way it's always been, that's the way it always will be. Someday everyone's going to appreciate it. Someday everybody's going to appreciate what I do in this world and what I do for Pat Hillsman. You know? Someday Pat is going to realize that I wrote a song for him. Someday he's going to realize what I do for him while he's fucking in the restroom on the ApocalyCast.
I think he might be doing coke in there.
Yeah.
I think this might have been the grandest Tom Tenney influence on the ApocalyCast yet.
Yeah, I'll bet he's like fucking in there like blowing Tom. Like that's probably what's going on.
Taking blow while he's
Or he's taking a fucking like huge shit right now.
Or vomiting. Like that's the other
possibility. Unless Patrick comes back with a picture of his poop. You know,
I wanna see it.
Picture it didn't happen.
I wish we could take the ApocalyCast toward the bathroom right now.
Oh, God. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fucking awesome? Maybe I should, like, try to film him. Maybe I should just, like, crash the bathroom.
I think you
should.
And
film him. And we'd either catch him, like, shitting, doing coke, or sucking dick. Those are the three possibilities.
All three at the same
time. Oh, wow.
I think you can actually even consider that. Three simultaneously.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way. If we busted him right now, there's no way we wouldn't, like, catch him doing something embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd be embarrassed if somebody found that I pooped.
Yeah, you know? At all, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, nobody likes even to admit things like that. What?
Not even the morning one, not counting all the ones.
Is there anything that makes you look more weak than the idea that you take a shit every morning?
Yeah, it's a bummer.
I mean, you don't do that, do you?
I try not to.
All right, okay.
I hold it in, but most of the time, but by like 2:30, I'm like,
all right,
damn it.
We all fall sometimes. You know, Jesus fell twice. So, No, it's okay. It's okay. But, I think this is our chance.
Yeah.
This could be our chance to finally get the revenge on Patrick that we've always wanted. Oh, wait. Oh, here he comes. We missed our chance. Never mind. Oh, welcome back, Patrick.
Hello, Patrick.
How are you today?
We have three options of what you were just doing.
Yeah. So in that bathroom, you were either
taking a poo,
doing coke,
or
sucking dick. Which was it?
Or was it all three?
Or was it all three?
Well, one is closer than the rest.
Did you pee on blow? That's a waste.
Yeah, dude.
No.
He didn't urinate in his bag. Okay, how about this? How about he was, I think he was sucking dick while shitting.
Were you vomiting?
Have you guys ever heard of a little term called safety wipe?
Safety wipe? No, what's that?
It's when you wipe yourself between having to take a shit, just to be sure that you're good, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, that's what your underwear are for. Right?
Nah, dude.
Sometimes you just gotta test, you know? Sometimes before hitting the open road, you gotta make sure that your tires are in shape.
That's why I wear boxers, because it just kind of like moves around enough.
So you wear boxers to soak up the feces.
Yeah.
From just the ever-flowing shit that comes from your holes.
I mean, that's good to know.
That's not why I wear boxers, man.
I think that's called a maxi pad.
Jesus, this has really gotten dark since I went to go do a safety wipe.
Yeah, man.
The show has really deviated into like a really dark territory. And I told you
you were a ray of light in the darkness, but you dismissed me.
It's not so much.
Someday you'll understand. You'll understand what Jad Slaman does for this podcast.
Jad Slaman does do a lot. It's true. I admit that.
So basically, you know, Pat, since you won't answer our question, I'm going to have to go with the assumption that you were sucking dick while shitting. And that's what we're going to go with. All right?
It's two separate muscle groups. It's totally possible.
Yeah, I think it's completely possible. And you know what? I think a lot of people are really
Feel that either of those things really like corrupts my journalistic integrity.
No,
not at all.
Hey, public versus private, okay?
The bathroom is private.
Not in question.
Here on the Apocalypse, we recognize, you know, we separate art from artists.
I was doing a safety wipe or having like a really fucked up, coked out orgy. And just blowing a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
It should really all be the same to you.
That doesn't mean that you're politically biased.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It just means that I'm a fucking American.
Exactly.
You know? And you should be too.
A red-blooded Irish American.
Fuck yeah.
And dual French national.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Do you find these things are more accepted in rural France?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, wow.
Very little is accepted in rural France.
Wow, jeez. Yeah. Well, it's good that you're in America where you're free. America's
true.
Free.
I'm not gonna lie. That's true.
And that's why you preach the word of Jesus here on the Apocalypse on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Because I'm allowed to, unlike in France where Jesus is lashed and crucified on the daily.
Oh yeah,
by the daily.
All Christians are just lined up and kicked directly in the balls in France.
France has been invaded by globalist cucks.
It's just true. Basketball. It's just the NBA is taking over in France.
Yeah,
and it's just fouls all day long.
Just all globalism, all the time. And they're like, they even will lock your children in a globe.
In a globe?
Yep. And there's all those people in northern France that blow glass, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That make snow globes, otherwise known as globalists.
Oh, damn.
And people in France were so mad, they were so fed up with George Soros, who was funding all the globalists that were making snow globes, that they went up and they just beat them all to fucking death with pétanque balls. It was brutal. And with bread.
Yeah, down with the globalist cucks. Beat them all with fucking baguettes. This is about taking our country back.
It's true, it's about time.
Yeah, we're going to take our country back with baguettes. In America, we will use flags and guns.
If you were at a baguette for 3 days, you could beat the shit out of someone.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm talking about. Hardcore.
Yeah.
It's like you do whatever you have to do, just like when you know, every taxi cab in Paris like took soldiers to the front.
And especially in this
We've borough, referenced that story a few times on the podcast.
Only one other time. I think it's a true story of heroism. I think you can learn a lot from it.
But it was in pursuit of a war that was for nothing.
Yeah, that's true. But also for the survival of France existentially.
World War One?
Yes.
Oh, dude, they could have just been like, we're socialists, go fuck yourself.
I don't know, man. I think if they lost at Verdun, I think they would have been overrun.
It's a different time than World War II.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, it's hard to... You know.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is you can beat someone to death with a baguette. And, you know, theoretically, you can rape somebody if it's, like, 3 days old.
You know,
you could really plow somebody with a baguette.
That's true.
That's very similar to Tom Tenney's.
Yeah, Tom Tenney's philosophy, Tom Tenney does inflict a lot of bodily harm on people with grain products.
Not with grain products.
But mostly
products.
It's when he pours vodka in people's eyes when they don't sign the checkout list. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Vodka?
Yeah.
I thought it was Everclear.
Oh, well, that's true. Whatever it is, it burns like a motherfucker. And
yeah,
it
I think it's Evergreen.
Blind.
Pretty bad.
Tom Tenney really is a ruthless, sick, sadistic fucking psychopath.
We're like the you resistance. Know? We're like combat here. You know what I mean? We're just telling the truth under this fascist regime out here in Brooklyn, New York.
I mean, it's pretty authoritarian.
Yeah, I would say so. But you know what? If we are like the resistance, then that means we're going to go on to either invent postmodernism or make really silly movies.
Did they make silly movies?
Yeah, the French New Wave. That's like where what they came from is like resistance papers. But the movies were really kind of shit.
The French New Wave movies were shit?
Eh.
Yeah, they were kind of boring.
Yeah, and a little silly.
And then, what's the one where the guy just like dies at the end for no reason? And they're like, oh yeah, and also he's dead.
That's called Un Homme Mort or something. You know, a man dies.
No, that's not the one. That's not even the one. It's the one about the whatever. But God, whatever. Yeah, but they do suck. Actually, you're right.
Yeah, it's like that one where the guy dies at the end. It's just like, okay, it's a day in the life of him, and he like lives in Paris, and he's like so cosmopolitan.
Socialism, philosophy, accordion, bread, oh God.
Yeah, and he's like surrounded by supermodels and bread all the time. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that's
oh God, I have to eat out all these fucking supermodels and drink wine and smoke pot.
That's basically the French New Wave.
Fuck!
You don't got to go to film school to understand that's what the French New Wave is about.
It's so terrible.
Yeah. So, you know. But
oh,
that's
what
us.
A cruel fate I have been resigned to.
Oh, man. No, it's a totalitarian regime here in Brooklyn, New York. Here at Radio Free Brooklyn.
We're just under
their boot all the time.
I have to get drunk and all these supermodels will grind their pussies into my face.
Yeah, we'll make a movie about it.
Oh, poor me.
We're going to make a movie, dude.
We'll make a movie about this and it's an existential crisis.
Yeah, dude. Definitely.
God, the existential crisis really is a motherfucker, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you sympathize with people a lot.
Yeah. No, it's not like worrying about money or anything like that. An existential crisis yeah. is like...
It's a real crisis, you know?
You can forget everything else once you've got an existential crisis. Yeah. You can just... And then when you come out of it, you know, nothing's important anymore. It's like hitting the reset button.
Well said, Jad. Well
said. Only you don't get to be a kid again.
At the other end of an existential crisis, what does actually matter?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Nothing, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you have enough of them, you'll never worry about anything ever again.
Yeah. Oh, what really matters? What is important?
Who are we? Who are we?
Who are we? What
Who
is
are
life?
We? Oh.
Oh.
I'm so smart. I'll write about my crisis and make $1 million.
Oh. You will lay all of my... I will rub honey on my body and then I will stick the dollar bills that I make from writing about my existential crisis onto the honey.
Sip.
And then I will stick all my Xbox games to the honey and rub them all over my nude body.
C'est postmodern.
Oh, come, c'est postmodern. Oh, boy.
This... Yeah, they call it bullshit. I call it postmodern.
Oh, it's a postmodern. In French, we have a word for the postmodern. The word is a bullshit. The stupid American. You'll buy anything. I will slather my dong in paint and I will slap it against the canvas.
And then
the stupid American will buy it.
Then I'll move to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
Fuck little boys. And
wait, really?
Give lectures every week. And they think I'm smart.
I'm down with most of it except for the fucking little boys.
What was that? Who was that? Who was that that did that? That was like it wasn't Baudrillard. It was Foucault. Mm. Yeah. Foucault moved to San Francisco and he had sex with underage boys. And
Polanski was the other way around.
He moved to America.
Well, no, he was still having sex with underage people. Yeah. Flaubert also was a pedophile.
Who?
Oh, really?
Flaubert?
I think it's Colbert. I was like,
no, Colbert was not. Well, maybe. I mean, you never know. Him and John
Him
Stewart.
And John Stewart. Have The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're running a child sex ring out of a pizza shop.
Or like the daily boning children in the fucking invisible basement of a pizza shop.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they were up to.
I always knew there was something wrong with that show.
Well, if only that fucking guy had gotten it right.
If only Craig Kilborn had gotten it right, so many children wouldn't have been sold into pizza fuck slavery.
Yeah.
They just pump scalding hot mozzarella up your asshole.
Man, what would you expect from comedians? Liberals think that comedians are going to save the world. They don't know anything. They're so fucking uninformed.
They think they know every fucking thing, stupid motherfuckers.
Wow, who knew Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert were behind that Pizzagate thing?
We're behind all the child rape in the country. Well, I knew, you know, because I'm not fucking fooled like the rest of you fucking cucks.
Oh, God. You heard it first on the...
I'm red-pilled like a... It's the red pill, right?
Yeah, red-pilled.
Yeah, I'm red-pilled like a motherfucker, yo.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You stay woke, Brooklyn. You heard it first on the Apocalypse. Every Friday at 2 p.m. here on Radio Free Brooklyn. You're going to hear the truth, okay? You're not going to hear some politically correct bullshit. Do not go on iTunes and rate us down, okay? Just because you heard something you didn't like.
Yeah, yeah. Don't demonetize us, whatever you do. You can burn our villages and fucking censor us, but please do not. Yeah.
I think that brings us to our Patreon. Please send us.
Yeah, Patreon.org/Radio Free Brooklyn. I don't often do this, but Andrew, I think that you might win for the segue of the week. And if I was a rich guy, I would give you a segue as a prize, but I'm not. That.
Damn.
Yeah.
I feel like I earned it, though.
Are you trying to fucking kill Andrew?
If I hadn't bought Da Vinci, you could have given me a segue.
If you want to kill someone really slowly, like you know how in Amadeus, it's like, well, how do I kill someone without really killing them? It's like you could just give them a segue and wait, you know,
either you'll be hit by a car or someone is just gonna fucking rip off your scrotum and you'll bleed to death because they're sick of you riding around on a fucking Segway like an asshole.
But just general social isolation. It's worse than being a Mormon, owning a Segway.
No, being a Mormon is cool. I love the Mormons.
Yeah, dude.
They rule.
Yeah, dude, when you're a Mormon, you get to have like 10 wives. Are you fucking joking?
Are you kidding me?
And you get to live in Utah.
They're not my favorite wives. I've had better wives.
Have you met Mormons?
I have. They used to come to my library as a kid.
I gotta say, I'm not really into white chicks. But Mormon girls? Wow.
Yeah, man.
Have you ever met Seventh-day Adventists?
No, I haven't. That sounds like it would be less fun, though.
It's
a
like,
lot of snake fucking.
It's like borderline Amish, and it's kind of like...
Oh, Amish, great.
Yeah, you're like, you can build a fucking barn, can't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the plague kids who were raised in Colorado City? And then
the plagues.
Yeah, the plagues.
My family lived in Utah for a while. I've definitely heard of the plagues.
Yeah, the plagues, man. And they, because what happens is
for some reason across the border they're more tolerant. They're more tolerant of like their crazy practices in other states. Because in Utah they have to crack down on it because they're Mormon. You know what I mean? So it's like they don't want a bunch of people with like 20 wives running around. You know? But in like other states, it's kind of like so weird that it gets left alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the kids. But if like every person in the if every man in the town has
plagues 10, are polygamy kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So here's the deal. If every man is gonna have
polygamists.
If every man is gonna have 10 wives, it's like what do you do with the other 9 like boys that are born? And basically like any boy who like even shows signs of not being completely down, it's like you're out. And this kid, like his dad came to him, he's like, son, you're out of the family and we want you to leave town tonight. And he was like, but it's like 7 p.m., the guy. And his father just goes like, yeah, we want you to leave tonight. And he left, and they have an 8th grade education. They don't know what masturbation is. They don't know, like, what anything is. And they're just, like, spit out into the world.
They'll figure masturbation out.
Yeah, they'll figure that part out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of those things that you can be self-taught.
You just see it, and you're like, what's that? What's going... Oh, feels good.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, that was me when I was a kid.
Just smacking it, see what happens.
And I heard, and then I learned what masturbation was, and I was like,
just
that's
hold
not
it.
What
you
I
got,
do.
You just gotta hold.
I was
it.
Like, that's not what I do, right? Right.
You don't masturbate, Chad?
Patrick. I don't masturbate, do I?
You must.
You see it, Pat. I mean, you see all, but you specifically see that. That's like your first tab,
Pat. I'm having a crisis here. Do I masturbate?
You do, Chad.
Is that what happens when I go like this? Like is that?
Did you not have a council of like Illuminati hooded figures?
I grew up. I grew up during the Bush years, man. I don't know anything. I didn't get any sex education.
You see, during the Clinton years, they used to have a bunch of hooded men come in and teach us how to rub our peepees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the thing. I understand. I kind of understand why like the religious right had a problem with that. You know, because just like these.
The clan taught you how to masturbate?
No.
I mean, just...
No, black robes, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry.
That's a terrible, that's a terrible assumption to make, dude.
I'm just making sure because Jeff Session was okay with the clan until...
Until they smoked, pot.
Pot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I
exactly.
thought they were also promoting masturbation.
Well, that's why. Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was just an extension of their propaganda arm is already.
No, but it wasn't the clan, was it?
Nope. It was just hooded Illuminati figures, and they were like, listen, Pat.
That's why we needed to elect an evangelical Christian to succeed Bill Clinton, was to get Jesus back into our sex education. And meaning getting sex education out of sex education.
Back in the Clinton years, they would just send these hooded men over, and they'd be like, listen, we're going to slather your cocks with lube, and we're going to do what we want to them. Okay, just to get that out of the way, because there's a Democrat in the fucking White House. All right? So I get it. Like, you know, a lot of people say that Trump voters are just fucking ignorant, and that when they talk about the economic disparity, that it's sort of more of like a cover than an actual, like, real thing, you know, that in a way they're almost lying, but it's not true because it's true. Like, Bill Clinton would literally send pedophiles to every school and then they would just line us up and suck our dicks.
Yeah, I mean, dude. It was depraved in the Clinton
years. It was depraved. So I get it. Like, we were just, like, I get why people voted for Trump because you're a coal miner in fucking West Virginia and it's like Bill Clinton sends a guy in to just fucking fiddle with your kid's junk and just suck his dick for like 12
hours. Will we ever be set free?
Never.
Oh, God.
Ever.
Not truly.
And it's all these liberal... We did understand that people didn't approve of the fact that we were sending, that as Democrats, we were sending people to teach evolution and to rape children. You know, because we needed those two things to be packaged together because they're two core values.
Yeah, exactly. And because of tribalism, it's like you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, of course not. I'm not going to let people learn evolution without just, like, people going around to just slather up their fucking dicks with lube. You know?
It's part of the process of understanding natural selection.
And you know what? A lot of people don't really think about, like, why, like, almost everybody is circumcised. And the real reason why is, you know, that was something that happened while Democrats were in control of everything from the 30s through the 60s.
When they sent everyone to go cut your dicks.
In the mid-20th century.
The dick-cutting law.
Yeah, dude, that was, like, part of the New Deal. It's not something the Democrats want to tell you about now.
They don't want to.
But mandatory circumcision was, like, part of the New Deal. You know,
that's a great society right there.
Yeah, dude. Oh, such a failed experiment. You know, I'm so glad that's
over. At least
over.
That part worked out.
I mean, I'm circumcised, but my children won't be. Because we have a game show host as the president now. So all that needless...
Do you, no, wait. My family was like, keep that knife away from my
circumcised
penis.
This is just, you know, all this circumcision is just another example of a meddling bureaucracy ruining everything.
Do you think Trump has a circumcised penis?
Absolutely.
Mm-mm.
I feel like it might just be like a balled up handful of Play-Doh down there.
Oh,
just so philosophical.
Just with a hole at the end.
Huh.
It's just a ball that's like stuck to the to his pelvis.
Yeah, that's why Melania like flicked his hand away. It's because, you know, she's like, no, I only want to see it one night per week, and that's the deal we made when we got married, and it's not different now that you're president. That's why she flicked his hand away.
She's the president now. Don't.
Oh, hell yeah. That's Melania Trump.
He's the president, can't get it up.
Yeah, president can't.
I mean, the man is 71 years old.
Yeah, well, yeah, but Ravi Shankar had like 100 kids. He lived to be 101 years old. And he was, you know, he was like fathered Nora Jones when he was older than Donald Trump. Jesus Christ.
Bullshit, how old was he?
Ravi Shankar?
When he had Nora Jones.
I think he was like over 70.
My aunt is actually only 3 years older than me.
Because he was like 99 years old.
He's dead, right?
I think he's dead.
I hope
but
he's
dead. I remember distinctly that he was 99 years old and he was Nora Jones' dad.
Didn't he kind of, isn't he the one that kind of really ruined the Beatles?
Ravi Shankar?
Yeah.
No, I thought that was Yoko.
No, I feel like Yoko is not creative enough to destroy the Beatles.
What about Harry Nilsson?
Shankar was a smart motherfucker. What?
Harry Nilsson.
Who's that?
He was like he was one of those guys who was like the fifth Beatle.
You know that a lot of people refer to the Apollocast as the fifth Beatle.
Oh, really?
Well, really as the only Beatle. You know, because like, what a bunch of fucking punks. They didn't even write the first of the music. And then they let them just hang out and get fucking high and do acid. And they paid for everything. Free food, free drugs, so much pussy. It was just ridiculous. You know,
oh my God, like, I'd love to be a Beatle.
They were just lounging around. They were like, oh, lads, like let's learn something new about about Eastern music.
So if the
amazing, but the Apocalypse, we most of us have jobs. We have to fucking do analysis of like wars and shit. It's brutal. And then on top of that, we have to do a motherfucking show. Jesus wow. Christ, the Beatles got to lounge around for years while people wrote songs for them. But we here at the Apocalypse, we have to write a new song every fucking week.
Well, if that's our condition, then in substance, are we the fifth Beatle?
No, we're all the Beatles. We're better than the Beatles.
Really? Are we also Ringo?
Because
a lot of people say Ringo is not very good.
No, Ringo is great. Are you kidding me? Have you listened to any of his solo albums?
No, I haven't.
They're not bad. Don't shit on Ringo either. He's great as well. All the Beatles were fantastic. I'm not going to shit on them. But it just, like, they had it easy is all I'm saying. You know? Yeah. And yeah. We here at the Apocalypse have to display genuine creativity.
I mean, the Beatles didn't have to live in end times.
What?
The Beatles weren't living in end times.
That's true, actually. That's a really good way of looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of, that's called a cakewalk.
Yeah, the Lord times knows. They lived in, oh, no, war. Can you imagine? Oh, God, do you remember the anti-war protest? How fun that was? Like,
I wish.
Oh, no, war. It's so simple. Oh let's God. Be against the war.
I wish the Vietnam War was, like, the biggest problem I had, you know? I wish that was the worst thing in the world.
That was, the anti-Iraq war protests were so nice, because it was just, like, so simple.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, remember when the Iraq war was the worst thing going?
Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah. Gah. Jesus Christ. If only we'd known.
If only
we'd known how bad things would really get. Yeah. You know? If only we'd known about Obama.
If only I'd gone to that one protest, because I was dating this girl, and she's like, nah, like, we should go get dinner and not go to the protest. I was like, well, let's go to the protest. She's like, protests are for losers, Patrick. And I was like, you know what? You're right. What the fuck? We didn't go. And because of that, a million people died.
Oh, my God, Pat.
I know. I feel kind of weird about
Does this responsibility weigh heavy?
I mean, it weighs heavy. Well, listen, it's her fault, you know? So I hope that it weighs heavily on her, but it doesn't weigh that heavily on me because she's the one that was like,
A million people's not that many. When you really think of the grand scheme of
that's
things,
true.
That's like,
yeah, that's like Stalin said, like Luke 1 million Skywalker, is statistics.
Luke Skywalker killed like 2 million in the first 2 hours of the Star Wars story.
Yeah. I mean,
you didn't know 1 million people?
Luke Skywalker just killed millions, and that's why all the fanboys are so worked up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That they're like, this isn't really Star Wars. You know, it's because Luke becomes a mass murderer. You know, and that's
what Luke always was, a mass murderer. Things. That's what made him cool, you know?
Yeah.
He was like,
that's so, what made David Hoffman? What's his name?
No. David Hasselhoff?
David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff. Yeah, that's what made him
David
famous.
Hoffman.
What, that he killed 2 million people?
Yeah.
Well, that's true, yeah.
That's why
not a lot of people talk about that, but when the Berlin Wall was like...
That's why he's so famous
in
Germany.
That's how he opened the Berlin Wall. Because there was about 2 million people that were garrisoned. There was just one big hole, you know, between the East and the West. And 2 million East German soldiers were garrisoned there. And fucking motherfucking David Hasselhoff came in with just a little shiv. And just shiv.
Do you know how much work it takes to shiv 2 million people?
It's
a lot of.
It's not that hard when you have like a robot car to help you.
But 2 million dead because of David Hasselhoff. 2 million dead because of Luke Skywalker. Now, I'll admit that Luke Skywalker was a little bit more classy because they were all on a space station. You know, some of them were clones. It was cool how he flew his X-Wing into that trench and he fucking shoot at the core. That's pretty cool. Like, I'm not going to lie. So Hasselhoff just had to hack and slash into each one of those East German soldiers, just bled out. It was just brutal. And he was just breathing and gurgling blood. And just everything which just fucking smelled like metal. Because you know how blood is.
Yeah, it's like tingy. It's like a little
metallic. It's like a copper. It's like licking a penny. You know? Yeah. And just so there's Luke Skywalker just flying away like nothing happened. You know, he didn't have to see the faces of the people he killed. But David Hasselhoff had to see the life drained from each of their eyes.
That's
You've been listening to the Apocalypse. Something else on Radio Free Brooklyn is next.